Hello, this is Colin Curry. I'm podcasting from EDUCAUSE 2010. I'm joined for a conversation today with Oliver Grutter-Andrew, Chief Information Officer for the University of British Columbia. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Oliver, as a CIO for a major university, what are some of the issues and challenges that keep you up at night?
Well, I've only been CIO at UBC for about a year now, and this is my first time in higher education. My experience as a CIO or VPIT before has been in other industries. I spent several years in the retail industry, years before that in the energy and utility industry, and before that in financial services. So unlike many of the great people I've met in higher education since taking the role, I'm not a lifer, if you will. And that brings different experiences and also lack of certain experiences with me, things that some of my colleagues take for granted. Having professionally grown up in university space is certainly often new, and in many cases downright puzzling to me. But there are some things amongst those that can be a bit maybe not keeping me up at night, but give me time to think and reason to think. UBC, like many other large research universities, has made a significant part of its reputation in research, as the name suggests. Research, of course, is only half the bill. Teaching and learning is the other half, if not more than half. And certainly in our case, I would say that over the last 10 years, we have made big strides on the research side, building strong reputation in a broad range of topics, attracting top-flight researchers. But on the teaching and learning side, it's more of a struggle. And so if anything keeps me up, it's really that side. And it's particularly for our new undergraduates, first and second year in the general intake subjects in science and arts in particular, where we find that as a public sector university, a public university, we have very broad appeal to the population. We are the University of British Columbia, as the title says. And even though there are many other good universities in the province, there is a certain expectation that we provide the post-secondary platform for the broad base of our population. And it's becoming hard. On our Vancouver campus alone, we have two major campuses, one in Vancouver and one in the interior of British Columbia. We have over 30,000 undergraduates. And the province is a place where we have lots of relatively small communities outlying in the northern and interior part of the province. We have a lot of very young people coming to UBC, which is situated right on the edge of the Vancouver metropolitan area, and they're downright bewildered when they come to our campus. And I'm sure we don't stand alone in that, so I'm not saying it's only our challenge, but we have students coming to us. The university is bigger than the town where they grew up, and what's keeping me up is, how do we get these students settled? How do we get them to understand what's important, what's not so important, what to worry about, what not to worry about, and how to get a grip on the myriad sources of help that exist, but which are not always obvious to get to? We also have a large contingent of international students. And there is a similar effect there in that international students come from very different backgrounds, very different experiences. And how, as a big place with 30,000 undergraduates plus 3,500 graduate students at this point, how do we bring them in such that they can be successful? As a CIO, there is a huge component to that. The population of students that arrive at the university now are very, very technology savvy. They live on their smartphones. They have come out of a high school environment where a lot of the learning is online. It's digital, even in the classroom with smart boards. And they expect a certain set of information that's navigable for them about the university, not just about their courses, but about life at the university. And I'll be honest with you, we're not there today. As a university, we don't have our act together the way I believe we should, putting the right information in the hands of the students at the right time, make it easy to connect the dots, find your way around, get answers to your questions. And so I find myself as CIO very much challenged with how to enable that for the university. That's where probably more than half of my effort is focused right now.
You had talked about the two main pillars of IT on a campus being teaching and learning and research. Let's talk about research for a little bit. What do you think research computing will look like in the next 3 to 5 years as opposed to where it is now?
I can only extrapolate from a little bit of experience on here. But clearly right now the trend is to get away from the microcomputer and back into the big computer environment. And really it's the pendulum swinging back. You know, 30 years ago it was on the mainframe and then the Cray environment, and then with the rise of the Spark workstations and the Intel chip, it went into the small desk-based computing. And today a lot of researchers still go out and they design and buy their own Beowulf clusters made up of their own choice of chips and memory and hard drives. With the push for more consolidated computing, certainly in the Canadian university space through Compute Canada, I think we're going to see more use of just cycle time on generic machines provided by aggregators within the industry, such as Compute Canada, WestGrid being the entity within that for the Western Canadian provinces. Research is buying more cycle time again. But I also think that computing in research is not just about high-performance computing, about the big cycle times. We've seen a few instances at UBC where more innovative use of social networking tools, connectivity abilities through the development of web and mobile app again, are really coming into research and display of research. I think that's a big difference now. Research, I think, is more than ever before breaking from the lab into the open. Researchers are looking for ways to promote their work in terms and through channels accessible to a much broader audience than just their expert group within their chosen field.
How is openness changing what you're doing from an IT standpoint? And what can your organization do to foster that type of thinking and sharing across the institution?
Well, I think there's two, maybe three layers to openness. There's the technology layer of openness that is CIOs and IT leaders we're all very familiar with and we have grappled with for many years. But there is a policy layer to openness, and beyond that, there's just a human nature layer to openness. And I think it has to start with the former. It has to start with an information owner being willing to say, there's no harm in me sharing this information. It doesn't hurt my reputation. In fact, it'll enhance my reputation if I make this freely available. And from there, it goes to institutional policy and technology implementation. As such, I think, like many research universities, we're trying to pick up on a greater willingness to display information and then put the tools in place to make that happen. And very clearly, when you do that, you have to work it on open standards to some fashion. You can't have different products being custom developed in proprietary manners and then not talking to each other. And I really don't think that we're there anymore from a technologically today. The tools to display information, to share it, to engage in dialogue online, they're all there. They're all interconnected now. There's still a lower level discussion about proprietary technologies, source systems. But increasingly, I think there's more of a willingness, even by historically very proprietary vendors, to make their formats more accessible and to collaborate, which is just a natural tendency in the industry. So I think openness is very important. It starts with the human aspect, and it's followed by the technology aspect. And I see the trend to greater integration and openness of technology standards very clearly.
We've talked about several different areas where the offerings from the IT organization need to change. They need to evolve. They need to address the new demands and the new opportunities in teaching and learning. You also described how your background is not from higher education, but from other industries. I would imagine that one of your challenges is to stimulate some new thinking and to invigorate some flexibility and some re-engineering in your team. How will you go about doing that?
I think my team is quite willing and quite ready to participate. I think what we need to have more in our group, in my department, is a willingness to lead. There is a certain shyness in our central IT group to step out and take a leadership responsibility to force the conversation about new technologies that are available, and to step in front of the researchers and instructors and to say, here are things that you may not have had a chance to look at yet, but don't you think this might be helpful to you? That's probably the biggest transition we need to make. Like all IT organization, we have a lot of very talented geeks on board, and they're very, very happy to explore the latest in technology. And but how do you engage with the academic community and bring the students into the process to work out the right solutions? I think that's more the challenge for us.
Many institutions are looking at the maturation of cloud services as an opportunity, while others are seeing it as a challenge. How do you expect cloud computing will impact UBC?
UBC, along with other British Columbia universities and public sector entities, is in a slightly tight position on this. We have privacy legislation that makes it very difficult for us to store large quantities of data outside Canadian territory. And that's historic, but it is a reality for us today. So there are two ways that we're looking at this. We're actually looking at cloud computing more as a concept than a technological or subscription service, and how we can use it within the Canadian higher education space. CUCIO, which is the Canadian Association of University CIOs, and the Western Canadian universities in particular, are looking essentially at self-provisioning around cloud services. And we're working very closely with some of our vendor partners around finding solutions for that. That's our specific challenge that we need to overcome. I think, generally speaking, cloud computing services are not really all that new. Again, earlier we made the comment about the pendulum swing from the mainframe through the Cray to the Spark and now going slowly back again. I do think fundamentally cloud is in a similar category. You know, SaaS used to be called application service provider services. The main difference to me really is in what is the usability and what are the use cases that are different today from maybe they were 10, 15 years ago. And how much of those specific services, whether they're hosted within Canada or outside Canadian territory, doesn't matter, really make a difference in the university. And I think it's always going to be selective. I don't think cloud is any more of a silver bullet than any other technology solution has been. I think it will have its uses. It already has its uses very clearly today, and we hope to take advantage of more of them. But I also think that there's going to be another swing of the pendulum 10, 15 years from now, when, you know, a breakthrough in quantum computing puts more power into your mobile device than we currently have in the whole cloud, and then the pendulum will swing back again. So I'm happy to go with the pendulum any which way it goes, as long as it serves the university.
Oliver, thank you very much for joining us today.
Colin, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.